everybody. Welcome back to Clearwater Jazz Holidays Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions. John O'Leary back with us today for the What I Love About series that we are doing. Brad Meldow today. How's it going, John?
It's doing great, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you know, always. And we had a great time with you last night as well on a very chilly beach as part of our CJH Presents Wanderlust series. You guys killed it last night. Thanks for being with us.
Man, that was so much fun. That's what I love about all the events with the Clearwater Jazz Holiday. We always have a great time, no matter what's going on.
No, that means a lot. Thank you so much. So for today, as usual, we have participants are muted, but if there are questions, we can get those questions to John using the chat feature. Thank you for following along with all of these sessions. They're archived after the live sessions in our studio online at clearwaterjazz.com, the education and outreach section. And you can watch all these videos after the fact. You can also listen to them on our Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions podcast. We like to give a shout out to the supporters who help bring those resources to you. The studio is presented by Blue Water Wealth Management at Steward Partners and Duke Energy. And the podcast is brought to you by Marine Max Clearwater. All the upcoming sessions are scheduled at clearwaterjazz.com in the education and outreach section. And we have some great ones this week. Not only John, we've got Austin Vickery with us later today, also as part of the What I Love About series, and some really, really fun stuff coming up later this week on Friday. Brandon Robertson is joining us, and we have Ella and the Bossa Beat back with us on a Brazilian rhythm section, second part that they did. The first one was really, really great. So John has a lot of sessions in our studio, including history of the rhythm section, an approach to jazz harmony on piano, piano technique in jazz, how to develop a language for improvisation on piano, how to develop rhythmic ideas to improvise better, how to create melodic lines for improvisation, how to use block chords, and the What I Love About series has been really fun. We've already covered Oscar Peterson, Bill Evans, Keith Jarrett, and today, Brad Meldow. So let me tell you a little bit about John. He is a Mexican-American jazz pianist. He's also a neuroscientist. He's the pianist for the highly acclaimed trio La Lucha in the Tampa Bay area. John has had a winding path. He was born in the Yucatan Peninsula, where he started piano lessons at a very early age. I think it was 3 years old. And he played classical piano until the age of 12. But once in the United States, he picked up the tuba. And he played the tuba in the concert band. I picture you, John, like as a three-year-old walking around with a giant tuba.
Well, I was, I think, 13 at that point.
So he played tuba in the concert band. He continued to develop his musicianship through high school, later gravitating to the piano. And he scored a lot of accolades on both instruments. In fact, at the University of South Florida, he studied everything: tuba, jazz piano, and wait for it, biochemistry. So he graduated cum laude with a BA in jazz piano performance, a minor in tuba performance, and an honors thesis in biochemistry. He toured Italy and France with the USF Big Band and the Jazz Tech Combo, playing in the 2007 Umbria Jazz Festival and Juan Les Pins Jazz Festival. As a member of those bands, he's played with many jazz greats, including Randy Brecker and Wycliffe Gordon and many others. As a scientist, he completed his PhD in neuroscience at the University of South Florida, where he is the recipient of the Ruth L. Kirchstein Pre-Doctoral Fellowship from the National Institute of Neurological Disease and Stroke. He's been an invited speaker at the Society for Neuroscience, Midwestern Stress Response, and American Chemical Society conferences. Check out La Lucha's music wherever you stream your music. Their latest album release, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, as well as a holiday album that they have out that is really great. John O'Leary, welcome back, my friend. The stage is all yours.
Thank you so much. This is great. So today we're talking about Brad Meldow. And Brad is one of my favorite pianists ever. He has a very unique aesthetic for his music, very unique conception for how he wants to sound and how he shares his music with the world. And I think all of the great jazz pianists that I've talked about have that. You can hear them, and after a few seconds, you can tell, oh, wow, that really sounds like them. And then they're, because of their strong musical personality, they become very influential. And I think Brad is probably one of the most influential pianists of his generation. He's one of the young lions of the 1990s. And along with like Josh Redman and Christian McBride. And he played with all those guys in that time. And they were in New York together and they were coming up. They're very close in age. And so let me tell you a story about the first time that I heard Brad Mehldau. So I was at a store, a used CD store. So gosh, this must have been like 2006 or 7. And I was at a used CD store and I'm looking through what CDs and I see this album right here. Art of the Trio Volume 4, Back at the Vanguard. And this is Brad Mehldau, Jorge Rossi, Larry Grenadier. And I'm thinking, who is this guy? This sounds interesting. I looked at the back and it had some songs that I recognized, like All the Things You Are and whatnot. And I thought, okay, it was like $4 or $3 or something super cheap. And I just grabbed it and took it home and listened to it. And the very first track on this album is All the Things You Are. And it sounds like this. It takes a few seconds and then they tune a little bit. This is live at the Village Vanguard, which is a very popular club in New York. And here we go. Okay, so that's the bass solo there. And so, yeah, that was the first time I had heard Brad, and I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea. I was just like, what is this? And it freaked me out. I'd never heard anybody play like that, or I didn't know that that was possible, and how is it that he can play like that? Why do people, like, I was so confused and thrilled, and I just loved it. And from that moment on, it was like all Brad Meldow all the time. I mean, you can ask my bandmates in La Lucha. I was a Brad head. That's all I like. I wouldn't stop listening to that and just being just in complete awe of his mastery, which is pretty incredible. So then here are some interesting facts about Brad and who he is and where he's from. He was born on August 23rd, 1970. He is still alive, which is very cool. I think he's 50 now. He was born in Jacksonville, Florida. He was interested in the piano at an early age and was taking lessons and playing simple stuff and playing pop tunes. And when he was 10, his family moved to Connecticut. And in Connecticut, in Hartford, he got a new piano teacher, and the piano teacher there got him to play classical music. And he was listening to classical music and loved that. And then somebody gave him an Oscar Peterson album, or he came across an Oscar Peterson album, one of these Pablo All-Star from the label Pablo, one of these Pablo things. And it was a duo album of Oscar Peterson and Joe Pass. And I think the very first Oscar Peterson I ever heard was from the Pablo years. And it was an Oscar Peterson Pablo All-Stars at the Montreux Jazz Festival. So I can totally relate how that is like a very powerful thing to listen to and be super inspired by it. And just like start thinking about the idea that that is possible. That is something that you can do, and music can sound that way. And so if you're coming from classical and pop and you hear jazz, like an Oscar Peterson kind of force, you're immediately thinking, wow, how can I do that? And what can I copy from Oscar Peterson? And in this interview, Brad is also talking about Keith Jarrett. I just had a presentation about Keith Jarrett a few days ago, and I talked about this specific album, Bremen and Lausanne. And this album, it was the first time he heard somebody play like that. And it was inspiring in the sense that, you know, he had more ideas about what was possible on the piano. But he was really influenced by Wynton Kelly and McCoy Tyner. Those were something that he listened to a lot, and he was imitating their construction of solos and their improvisational language and their accompaniment. So then already, although he was in high school, he was already playing gigs regularly, like weddings and events. He had like a weekly gig. And another famous jazz musician when he was in high school with, this guy named Joel Fromm. And he's a saxophonist, tenor saxophone player. And they went to school together. They were, you know, friends and playing gigs. And then they moved to New York, and they've done, they've recorded together. And so something about that area already had the right teachers. They had the right, you know, kind of ingredients to make good players over there, which is really interesting. They're close to New York, so they probably got to see great players in New York. And then he went to New York City to study jazz piano. He went to the New School, and he studied with Fred Hirsch, Junior Mans, and Jimmy Cobb. And Jimmy Cobb's a drummer that was in Miles Davis's Kind of Blue. He's a wonderful, wonderful drummer. And, you know, as a student there, he was playing in Jimmy Cobb's band on occasion. along with Peter Bernstein, who is a very famous guitarist, and he was going to school with them. And in that time, like, a lot of the cats were happening that we know now that are super famous, they were students, and they were just young guys and 18, 19 at that time in New York. And Brad was there. They were just friends, and they grew up, and they all like came up together and became this generation of musicians that are known as the Young Lions. So before Brad sounded like that, he had to learn the basics and learn how to play jazz. And so there's this guy named Christopher Holliday, and he was a up-and-coming saxophone player in the early 90s, or 1989, I think, actually. And when Brad was 19, 20, he was in college at New School, and he did his very first session that you know, the public knows about, that's available. It sounds like this. No, sorry, that's Wynton Kelly. I apologize. I wanted to share a little bit of Wynton Kelly so that you can hear what Wynton Kelly sounds like, so that you can get an idea of what he was listening to and what was his influence. Is so nice. I love Wynton Kelly. Wynton Kelly is also on the Kind of Blue album. He plays in Freddy Freeloader. Okay, so this was Brad Meldow's first session. It's called The Natural Moment with Christopher Holliday. So then he must have been like 19 or 20 at this time. I'm going to fast forward to his solo. So there you could hear his comping, and it's very complementary to the melody and to what is going on around him. So there you can see how he was in that vibe of New York jazz. He's studying there and he's developing very nicely. He's very young and already playing really well and really interesting. And he's got lots of technique and he's been studying since he was 10 or 11 and listening and playing gigs. And so he's already, you know, pretty well formed and a professional jazz musician by 20 years old. And so then as his life is continuing, he's starting to make these decisions about, okay, how do I want to sound? What is interesting to me musically? As I present music for myself, what do I want to present? And so one of the things he started working on as an early, you know, 20-something year old was the left hand. The left hand is a huge problem for jazz musicians, jazz pianists, specifically. Because we have, it's what it's called, the claw hand. You play chords with your left hand, and then you're soloing with your right hand, very much like we heard in the previous song, and it's chord, play, 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 chord, play, play, play. And so your left hand doesn't do much. It just becomes a claw. And that's not very musical. You're already taking away so many possibilities of what's available for the left hand. So he started studying classical music again. He loves Brahms, and probably some of his closest music is Brahms solo piano works. And so he started creating a contrapuntal approach to improvisation. And what does that mean? That means that as he's playing a melody in the right hand, maybe he plays a counter melody in the left hand. Instead of doing this, he's doing that. He's playing another melody. Like you're listening to Bach, and you hear Bach, and it's pararan ton ton pararan ten ton, and then that melody starts coming in the left hand. Pararam pum pum pararam pum pum. Not in a different key like I just sang, but they make sense together in a way that you're creating what it's called in music is counterpoint, which is the art of weaving individual voices in and out together. Imagine that's four people singing, what they would be singing, that would be called counterpoint. And so Brad, loving classical music so much, he started to think about, what if I improvised those voices? What if I made them as individual things that I can develop while I'm playing? So he's playing his main improvisation in his right hand, and then with his thumb and these fingers, he's playing some other voice, and then he has the bass, and he's playing bass notes that have their own, you know, voice movement. It's really, really fascinating how hard he worked and how well he developed these ideas. Another thing is that there was this drummer that he had worked with his brothers in Barcelona, Jorge Rossi's brothers. I forget what their names are, but they have some great albums called New York Barcelona Crossings. There's two or three of them with Spanish musicians. And Jorge was really into odd meters, and he was showing Brad all these different things that they could do. And he was like, well, what if we take this standard that we all know, like Stella by Starlight, and play it in seven? I mean, like that first thing that I showed you was All the Things You Are, and that was in seven. And the way the melody was played was one bar of four and then one bar of three. And so it was like, you are the promised spring of springtime, the lonely tide of winters go by. You bum ba da 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 ba do ba da ba da ba do. And so it's like it's creating this complete different dynamic of how you can play the song. Not only that, he was playing it in A major. Jazz musicians are allergic to songs in sharp keys. We break out in rashes very easily. And so you don't really play in sharp keys. But in classical music, you play in sharp keys all the time. It's a very common thing to do in classical music. And so for whatever reason, jazz music is almost entirely in flat keys. Sometimes you'll get G, sometimes maybe D, but very rarely do you play things in E, A, and definitely not B or F sharp. It's very interesting why that is. And so as he's exploring all these things about classical music and thinking about how to bring them into the jazz world, which is fascinating. Another thing is that I told you that when he was a kid, he listened to pop music. And so growing up, pop was his main influence. He loved pop music, and then he was listening to classical music, and then he was listening to jazz, and then he's, you know, listening to all these three things at the same time. And he loved, he loves Sunken Garden and Radiohead and Oasis, and you know, these are things that, like, this is the music that he was of his, that he was listening to, you know. And so he took some of their songs and included them in his repertoire, and but using his artistic interpretation, using his sensibility with his contrapuntal approach, with his left hand, the way that he wanted to do the rhythm section. And let me see if I can go back. And I wanted to show you something about the rhythm section that he did here. He changed the way the rhythm section played tremendously. So if you listen there, the drummer's not going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He's playing these very different rhythmic things, and no two bars of music are sounding the same. They are, he just, it's just, it does, you wouldn't know it's in seven unless you're counting, you know. If you're just listening, you're just listening. You're not thinking of, you know, you're just, and it's, that's what, it's very organic sounding. It's very, and same with the way that Larry Grenadier, the bass player, he plays. He's not playing, don, 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 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1. He's not swinging like that. He is just improvising a line. And in some ways, it's similar to the approach that Bill Evans had. And unfortunately for him, for Brad, he got compared to Bill Evans a lot as a youngster, as an up-and-coming artist. And his music doesn't really sound like Bill Evans. Just the concept of the approach is the idea is that they're, each voice is unique and each voice is playing its thing. So, but here, listen to how the three of them play when Brad Meldow is improvising. God, I love that recording so much. I could play that whole thing Over and over, and I have that. What's incredible is the flow of ideas, how wonderful the flow of ideas is. One idea goes into the next, and how it's almost very chaotic the way everything sounds. And I don't know, something I relate to that chaos. It's, you know, at first, the first time I heard it, I was so overwhelmed with everything because everyone's playing so much. And, but I don't know, I really love it. I really love, Brad's playing in that record. It's one of my favorite records. And, I've listened to pretty much every record that he's, put out, especially as a leader. And, the next topic here is the left hand. And so I was telling you about the claw hand and about how important it is for jazz pianists to develop their hand, to think about their left hand the way, same way they would about their right, and to practice everything together, you know. And so here's a song, and I think this was released like 2001. In case you're wondering, the guy with the curly hair here, that is Larry Grenadier, that's the bass player. And this guy here is the drummer, Jorge Rossi. And that's Brad in the middle. And this is after he had moved to LA. And it looks like they had like a diner feel. I love it. It's so cool. He just got finished his coffee and he's got some eggs over there or something. So it's called Places. They were touring a lot. He was one of the most active trios in that time. And touring so much, he became fond of a lot of places. And one of the places that he was fond of was Paris. And this is a tune called Paris from the album Places. And listen for the left hand. Thank you. Yeah, so that's intense. Wow, that's incredible. He takes that, the left hand seriously and really built it into something that can play as well as the right hand. And that's an incredible and important thing for pianists to work on and develop, especially in jazz, because jazz music is so right hand dominant. Okay. So then let's talk about his contrapuntal approach. So if you go back and watch the Keith Jarrett talk, I played Keith Jarrett playing Bach. And so he loved Bach, and he played this prelude in C sharp major, which is part of the Well-Tempered Clavier Book One. Now, Brad Meldow also recorded it in this album. This album is called After Bach. And, in this album, he wanted to take some works of Bach that really inspired him. He wanted to play them, record them, and then make an improvisation that was based on the original. This is a variation on that C sharp major prelude. Thank you. So there you can hear how the left hand takes over the melody that happens in the right hand. I think in the beginning it goes, and then the left hand starts playing that same line. Let's try this. And then the right hand, they're kind of changing roles. The left hand plays the melody for a bit. The right hand plays the melody for a little bit. Sometimes they're playing melodies at the same time, and they're kind of changing this idea of how you put these things together. It's a really neat idea for creating variety in a jazz format and an improvisational format. So then I talked that Brad Meldow is very much into odd meters. Well, that previous song was in 5/8. And you know, you just say it's in 5, whether it's in 5/8 or in 5/4, you count to 5, either 5/8 notes, 5/8, or 5/4 notes, 5/4. But it's just a matter of semantics for how it's written. But you know, the song was in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so in this one, this song is called Resignation. This is the first solo album that Brad Meldow put out. And it's just one of my favorite albums, just incredible. He wrote all the music for it. And this song is called Resignation. This song is in 7. And I love how it's not an obvious 7. It's not like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8. Oftentimes they play this rhythm over and over, and it's like they're beating you to death with this rhythm of 7. And what's challenging is to play different rhythms to keep it varied so that it's not too, unless you're going for that. You know, sometimes you are trying to repeat a pattern over and over. And so I think it's fun to work on those differences, making it sound more organic and varied. So this is called Resignation. So I'll show you the 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1. Stop it there. Let's see, I have 2 more examples to show you. This one is called Pop Music. He loves pop music, and he always, you know, that's what jazz musicians did from the beginning. They took whatever was popular in their time and they incorporated to their musical aesthetic. And this album, again, Art of the Trio, Volume 4, Brad takes a Radiohead tune called exit music for a film, and he takes that pianistic classical and just does a riveting version. I just love that that he can continues to go in the tradition of jazz, which is to be unique and to do your own thing and to think for yourself and to think about what you want to sound like and to commit to that and develop it. And he's just one of my greatest heroes. I love Brad. He's such an incredible musician and thinker. He is very intelligent, and he studies philosophy and writes about his thoughts on philosophy and all the different influences he had, and it's just really great. Go to his website and check out all his writing that he has there. He's a really interesting thinker. Okay, so then another thing that I love about Brad is his versatility. He's not just stuck in one, you know, here's my classical piano sounding thing, and that's it. He can also, you know, he can also go electric and be funky and do these different things. So here in this record, this is also one of my favorite records. You see, that's what I love about Brad so much. So many of his records are my favorite records. He's just changed so much for me, and is just absolutely incredible. This is a duo record with Mark Juliana, which is an incredible drummer. I love him. I've seen him play live multiple times. Same with Brad. I got to see him in Europe with Pat Metheny, and it was just mind-blowing. And so here, they go electric. Mark has these pads, these electric pads that he, his drum kit, and then he triggers sound. And then Brad has this, he has a Rhodes, he has a Dave Smith instrument, synthesizer on top of the Rhodes, and he has some kind of left-hand bass synth. He's playing the bass, he's playing the chords, and he's playing the melodies. This is a An awesome song from that record called Meliana. I think it's called Hungry Ghost. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for weathering this with me and listening to what I love about Brad Meldow. I hope this is helpful. And yes, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It is an honor and a pleasure to be here. Yes, what I love about Brad Meldow.
That was awesome, John. Thank you so much. I particularly on that last one, I can totally see you jamming out to something like that, man. Reminiscent of last night on that chilly beach.
Right? Totally.
Maybe you were channeling some of that. I don't know.
And I love that stuff. That's just so cool.
No, it was great, and we look forward to having you back with us and for a continuation of this series. I think you have at least one or maybe a couple more.
Awesome.
What's that?
I have one more on a pianist, Tigran Hamasyan.
Very cool. So we look forward to having you back with us to join that session. Please follow along at clearwaterjazz.com, the education and outreach section. And you will see the Zoom links to join all of the live sessions. And of course, you'll see the links to get into the studio or the podcast to listen to them. So, John, it's been great having you with us. On behalf of the Clearwater Jazz Holiday Foundation, thank you. And thank you, everybody else who's been participating in these live sessions and following along after the fact in the studio and the podcast. We hope you're finding really great value in these. We're having a lot of fun making them. So stay safe out there, everybody. Be well. Keep playing. Keep being creative. Keep listening. And we'll see you all back with us real soon.
All right. Thank you.
See you, John.
See you.
Thank you for listening to Clearwater Jazz Holidays Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions. Thank you to our friends at MarineMax Clearwater for helping to present this podcast series. To learn more about the Clearwater Jazz Holiday Annual Festival tradition, other special events throughout the year, and our year-round education and outreach, please visit clearwaterjazz.com.